All right, let's stand tonight. You got a Bible, the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter number 1. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord tonight. And the Bible said, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, it shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion that's been sung today and tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a good place we can come out from among them and be separate. Help us now in the Word of God tonight. I sure do need your help. Touch me, use me to be a blessing, I'd ask you. Touch the one nearest to hell tonight, we pray. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to pick up preaching tonight where we started off this morning here out of the book of Joshua. As we said, Joshua, he held a mighty high office. Moses has died. The Bible said that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that it came to pass. I like what Brother Vince said. I don't want to get caught up on my praying or my serving. I want to be where God wants me to be tonight. He said, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, he said that it came to pass. I don't know how long it took, and I guarantee you Joshua may have wondered a few times when the Lord was going to speak to him. But it came a time when the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now, we preach this morning out of the first thought of this text on a painful assessment. Moses had died. We know many times of the story and the livelihood of Moses. What a great man of God Moses was. Moses, the Bible said he was the meekest man in all the earth. But yet we've seen in the Bible this morning that Moses had lost his piece of things, and he become angry. And God told him to speak to a rock, but he smote it twice. And therefore, that kept him from going into the promised land. Our thought was doing some things by not obeying God, by being able to enjoy the promised land. It had to have been an awful thing for God to put Moses on that hill, let him look out across to see what he could have had if he had just obeyed and trusted God. But the Bible said that God buried him in a valley. Matter of fact, God hid him. He was so popular, if no doubt, if the people would have known where Moses was buried, they would have put up a shrine. Maybe they'd built a coliseum to worship Moses. But I remind you tonight that God's not interested in worshiping nobody but Him. He is a God of jealousy and He's a God of order. And let me tell you, if you've got God as my co-pilot on your car, you ought to rip that off tonight, because that's a falsehood. If God can't drive, He ain't going to ride. And we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God hid the body of Moses. Matter of fact, it was so important. You'll notice over in the Bible, in the book of Jude, and you won't have to go there, I'll read it. It's just one chapter, one verse, verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." In other words, no doubt the devil probably tried to steal the body of Moses so that people could set up a shrine. Now, I want to tell you something. The Bible said, "Let the dead bury the dead." I've got a mama and daddy that went through the grave. I'm glad they're on the other side tonight. I can't sit around and worship a shrine. I'm glad I don't serve a God that's sitting in a shrine. Our God's on a throne tonight, and He's all-powerful, and He is the lovely one, and He is the rose of Sharon, and there's nobody like our God, and He ought to have the preeminence in the church, preeminence in our life. Everything we ought to do ought to be to magnify the darling Lamb of God. Oh, my, that'd be just like the devil to went and steal the body of Moses to set up a shrine to get God's people off track to worship Moses. Listen to me tonight. You can't worship a preacher. In the early church, Paul took the most worldly church in the Bible in Corinth. He said, "I don't know why you divided over a preacher." He said, "Some planted, some watered, but God gave the increase." Let me tell you, if it wasn't for God, we'd all be in hell tonight. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite preacher. But I'm tired of people listening to see who's going to preach, whether they come to church or not. You ought to be glad it's the Word of God and it's the right kind of Bible. God gives the increase. Well, who's preaching? Well, it'll be right. Just come. It'll be right. It'll be out of the right kind of Bible. I promise you that. Will every man get in this pulpit and say everything I agree with? No, I won't agree with everything you say. Preaching's like in a buffet. You go to Ryan's if you have to go there. I mean, that's just a last-ditch effort for me. I'd rather go to Mickey D's. Somebody say amen. Ryan's tastes like you poured everything out of a Cracker Jack box. I can guarantee you, when I come to sauerkraut, my wife, she's going to get sauerkraut. I'll just put my fingers on my nose and stay in line and go on and pay the bill. Amen. I ain't eating sauerkraut. That's rank cabbage. Somebody say amen right there. But just because I don't like sauerkraut don't mean I ain't going to eat. Amen. And so Paul said, I don't know what some of you are tore up about. Some of you like Paul, some of you like Silas. But you remember, God gives the increase. And it's the Word of God that's going to get it done tonight. Not personalities. I realize I'm your pastor, and it can't be but one pastor. But you hear this old country preacher, well, sometimes I get tired. Thank God I've got a Brother Mike, or Brother Adam, or Brother Randy, or Brother Dwayne, or Brother Lee. Amen. Thank God. If they read now the Bible, it'll be right. Somebody turn around and slap your neighbor and say amen tonight. It'll be right. Boy, wouldn't that just been like the devil to set up a shrine and bow down to Moses. Oh, Moses, you parted the Red Sea. Moses didn't part no Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. You listen and you listen well. Ken Bowman ain't built this church. The God of glory's built this church. And God will always have the last say-so here. Bow down to a pope. That's what's wrong with the Catholic Church tonight. Speaking to a man in a telephone booth that can't hear what they're saying. I'm glad there's a God in heaven. So you listen to your preacher tonight. I got something to say. There was a painful assessment. Moses had died. But number two, there was a personal acceptance. My boss told me something at Pepsi years ago. He said, "Ken, it's what you need to learn. Things change. Life changes. My mother always told me, Ken, you're going to see change. My daddy always said, you're going to see change. My dad-in-law told me as a young man, he said, Ken, you listen to me and you listen to me well. The older you get, the more your priorities is going to change. Boy, isn't that right? The older you get, the more your priorities change. But I want to say something here on this personal acceptance. Here God spoke to Joshua and he said, Moses, your leader, your mentor has died. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a personal acceptance. You see, we must have faith that will endure. Hard times may come to your family and your home. But listen to me. If God be for you, who can be against you? Accepted. This personal acceptance. I want to say that Joshua accepted Moses' death. I don't know. You know, it grieves my heart. I've seen, and I don't belittle death. I'm going to tell you, I had a mama. I'm going to tell you what. I put her obituary there in my Bible. Every now and then, Brother Mike, Brother David, I'll come back, see her sitting there in the nursing home, and I can't even dwell on the thought. I just turn the pages of my Bible, and I get to thinking, well, thank God she ain't a peeking out of the curtain looking out at a cold day today, honey. She's on the streets of gold. She's yonder in glory land. She's with the Lord that bought her and called her and saved her. Hallelujah. And I had to get over my mama's death. Some of you need to quit living in the past and go on with God and realize that we got somebody to serve. If I lose it all tonight, I'm glad I got a God that loves this preacher. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Woo! There was a personal acceptance. Ain't nobody loved their mama more than I loved her. But I've had to learn to get through with some things. Don't mean I don't love her. Lord, she rocked me to my feet, drugged the ground. You ask my wife, she instilled in me all them bad habits. Just throw my shoes off. Mama picked them up. Shake your little head tonight. Throw your dirty T-shirt over in the corner. Mama picked it up. But after 35 years of marriage, I done found out my mama don't live there. Go on, shake your head tonight. She said, you need to go to picking up after yourself. Man, I've got so trained now, I even take my plate from the table over the dishwasher. And some of y'all, this is going to tear your nerves up. When I get done with a towel, I hang it back up so she ain't got to wash it. I ain't never understand why you wash a clean towel. That's sort of like making a bed up, Miss Vicky. I don't understand that business. We're just going to tear the cover back tonight and get back in it. I plan on laying down tonight. Ain't nobody's bed like my bed. Don't know why a woman's got to get the nerves tore up, but the bed ain't made up. If I ain't off preaching, if I ain't doing something, I might get me a nap about 2 o'clock, and I don't want to make it up twice a day. And I know if I live with some of you, you wouldn't even let me get a nap. But that's why I don't live with you. You say, preacher, if you was my husband, I'd put poison on your cornflakes. If you was my wife, I'd eat it too. Somebody say amen right there. Little henpecked looking something. You've got to learn to move on. Ain't nobody loved mama more than I love mama. But let me tell you, mama's with Jesus. I got to do what I got to do for my life tonight. I got to do what's good for this church. My family. My children and grandbabies. There was a personal acceptance. He accepted Moses' death. He accepted God's decision. Some things is sovereign. They didn't vote Joshua in. God had a place for Joshua. I could help a lot of churches. They're taking resumes. Man, you can look at resume after resume. Let me tell you, it ain't the credentials of the man. It's the call of God. They better know that God wants that man there. Because you listen to me. I know some of you won't like this, but God blesses a man, not a building. If you don't believe it, I can show you churches after churches. Their preacher left and it fell. You know why? He went liberal. Every church is one preacher from going liberal. Ain't nothing I'm doing. God decided to call and put me here. And He said, if you'll mind me, I'll bless you. And I'm trying my best to mind Him because I love the blessing. But I ain't forgot about the blesser. As strong as this church is and as fundamental sound as this church is, God could call me out of here, put you a liberal preacher in here, and you'd padlock this thing in 3 years. Amen. Lord, I don't know where all this come from, but I'm glad it's a coming. There's personal acceptance. He accepted Moses' death, but accepted God's decision. There's sometimes on your job, you might not get the promotion. Sometimes you may not be the one that God puts in the order. I remember many times at that Pepsi plant, somebody would get a promotion, and I was wondering, well, God, why wasn't it me? I'm working hard. God had a plan. Joshua decided he could just trust the plan of God. You know what I've done found out? If it's the will of God for me to sweep a sidewalk, then it'd be hard to beat them blessings on me sweeping a sidewalk. But if I went out trying to sell chewing gum and the blessings of God wouldn't own it, it wouldn't be no good. I come to tell you tonight, you ought to be glad God's called you into a place and realize God does everything for a reason and He makes no mistakes, and learn to accept what God has put in your life. Now, there was a personal acceptance. Accepted Moses' death. He accepted God's decision. And I want to say he accepted his own disturbance. No doubt this disturbed him. His mentor's just been called to heaven. I've elaborated enough on that. It takes me to my third point tonight. Not only a painful assessment and a personal acceptance, but there's a providential arrangement. Now, let's look who God uses. The Bible said, first of all, he was a son in verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. I'm glad tonight that I am a child of God. Glad I'm in the family. I'm glad there is a son tonight. Amen. Help me with the preaching. I'm glad I'm in the family. Who does God promote? Those that are in the family. The son of Nun. Did you know you'll look him up in 1 Chronicles and this is what you'll find? You'll find that, remember, when Moses led them out of Egypt, this whole generation had died, but Caleb and Joshua. Joshua was the son of Nun. It lists him in 1 Chronicles. He was the first male child of Nun. You know what that means? He experienced the Passover. He had experienced when Moses told them to put the blood over the doorposts of the door. And no doubt, there's young Joshua, the firstborn. His daddy had to put the blood over the door. And when he come about 11:45, no doubt, maybe Joshua said, Daddy, will it work? Oh, about 11:55, Daddy said, oh, yes, it's worked. I tell you, it still works tonight. Thank God the blood of Jesus still works. Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, let me ask you something. How'd that blood work? Watch this. By faith. The same way it works tonight, it worked back yonder a long time ago. They had to have the faith to apply the blood over the door. I wonder tonight, have you had the blood applied down at your house? I'm glad one day He saved me. And I'm going to tell you, those that God uses is those that's in the family. I'm glad I'm a son. I'm glad I was born in the family. Thank God I am a son. Number two, I'll tell you, those He uses, not only a son, but a servant. The Bible says He was Moses' minister. I wonder how many times He did something for Moses and the devil told Him, what's the use of that? But you know something? God was writing everything down. Let me tell you, when you've been a blessing to other people, the devil may holler and say, man, you just wasting your time. But let me remind you, God's writing things down tonight in our service. And there's a payday coming someday. There's going to be rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And boy, Joshua was Moses' minister. Those that God uses, this providential arrangement. Not only was he a son, not only was he a servant, but I want to say he was very sensitive. You'll notice this in verse number 1. That the Lord spake unto Joshua. I wonder if God had talked to you, would you know who was talking? He was sensitive. Brother Vince got up and preached half of my sermon tonight. But you remember when Samuel, God got to calling Samuel, he's lamb by old Eli the prophet. Boy, Samuel didn't really know who it was calling him. But Eli knew the voice of God enough to know it's probably God calling little Samuel. God has a distinct voice. It's not always thunder and crashing most of the time. Matter of fact, I can tell you about every time God speaks in a still, small voice. I tell you, when God speaks to me, church, am I helping anybody tonight? I tell you, when God speaks to me, it's when I get still. I get quiet. God don't say a lot with drums beating. But I'm going to tell you, to get quiet, God will talk to you. Now, I want to say something about Joshua. Something I didn't know about him, and I'm going to quit preaching tonight. This sparked an interest in me, Brother Jake. Brother Tim, when I read this about Joshua, got my wheels turning. I didn't know this about Joshua. Now, Joshua and Caleb's the only two living in that generation. The rest died. Now, they've been going 40 years in this wilderness. And watch this. Now, those that God uses, He uses of great humility. Great humility. Joshua was over all of the army of Israel. He was commander-in-chief of the battalions. Great battle master. He was in charge. And I like this about his humility. I tell you, those that God uses is those with humility. God has no room to use those that are full of pride. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us Proverbs 13 and 10, pride comes before a devastating fall. Pride and anger go hand in hand. You'll go to getting thinking that God can't do this without you, and honey, you done got too crippled, too high for crutches. We better realize where our bread's buttered. And boy, His humbleness, and then His holiness, and this is what I didn't know about Joshua. Did you know, Brother Lee, when God called him to go up on the mountain to get the law, He took Joshua with Him. And He stopped Joshua off. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. You know what the Bible said? I read it this morning for a church. When He come back down to the people of Israel that had that calf going on, Joshua says, it sounds like to me they're having a party. And He walked back down that mountain with Him. I tell you who God uses. Not only those that are humble, but those that will walk holy. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when He walked up that mountain with Moses,
Moses said, I wonder what he told him when he, I wonder if he told him when he'd be back. Boy, he is walking close with the Lord. My, I'm going to tell you, God uses those with great humility, those with great honesty, those with great holiness. And I've noticed this. God promotes those that have the right heroes. You see, listen to me. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. Note who young people are attached to is an indicator of where they're going. Who young people are attached to is an indicator of where they're going. I hope Michael Jordan's not your hero. I hope that Britney Spears isn't your hero, young lady. You can look at their lives and tell that money's just made of monsters out of them. Some of you want to win the lottery. You better pray to God, number one, you won't buy one. Number two, you won't win it. Because you'll get to acting crazy. God uses those that are humble, those that are honest, those that are holy, and those that have the right heroes. Now, this providential arrangement, I wrote this down. Some of you in leadership at your jobs, I want you to listen to this. Now, watch this. Joshua had been elevated to great status in the kingdom. He was Moses' right-hand man. He was over all that military. And this is what one old writer said. I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. Listen to me. He said, promotion in God's service, it requires much humility to serve lowly after you're promoted. Takes great humility to serve after you're promoted. I remember walking through that Pepsi plant. Somebody say, boy, them floors are bad. I say, yeah, give me a mop. Oh, Ken, you don't need a mop. Oh, yeah, give me the mop. I ain't forgot about where I come from. And just because God may have elevated you in the kingdom to status, let me tell you, honey, we better not forget where we've come from and where our bread is buttered. Without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. Hey, I'm a preaching to somebody tonight. You better listen to your man of God. Even though you've been elevated, don't mean you're better than nobody else. People's counting on you to be good to them. People's counting on you to be real to them. They don't want to showboat somebody big-headed. I feel like teaching a leadership seminar tonight. First of all, throw the rule book out in the road. Do what God wants you to do. Follow the Spirit of God and you'll never go wrong. I close. This thing of Joshua is loaded. There's a painful acceptance, assessment. There's a personal acceptance. There's a providential arrangement. God put him right in place. But there's a powerful assistance. I'm glad he told him, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Then verse 5, there's a promised assurance. He said, so there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise of God tonight, folks. I love what the Bible said. Brother Lee, I thought about this when I penned it down tonight. Last place I go, I'll be done preaching. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Look at verse number 15. Hebrews 13, verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice and the praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Look in verse 5 now of Hebrews 13. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, there was a painful assessment. There was a personal acceptance. There was a providential arrangement. There was a powerful assistance. But there was a promised assurance. I'm glad that God told Joshua, He said, you listen to me. He said, you don't have bondage to more. You just got some battles. You got a Jordan to get over. But I want you to realize, I will never leave you. Aren't you glad you got a God when your friends turn away and walk away? We got a God that'll go through with us. I appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with me around the house. You've been good to preach to tonight, and I do appreciate it. You're glad you're saved, say amen tonight. If you need preaching, say amen.